Very good. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Let's see if I can trust my water to that. Yeah, there we go. It's okay. Yeah, it is grass. That's why I'm married. I break glass things, and I don't clean it up properly. In John chapter 9, we hear a story about Jesus healing a man who was born blind. And it causes quite a stir because the religious rulers, they didn't really have that in their theology. They didn't understand how somebody like that could be healed by Jesus. And they actually drag this dude's parents into the temple and they question them. And they, you know, it's high pressure. Like, really? Was he born blind? Was he not? There's a huge, huge commotion. Well, anyway, the parents end up leaving the temple. And then they end up throwing the dude that just got healed out of the temple. They kick him out. Get out of here. And the scriptures say, and I find this fascinating, the scriptures say that Jesus went and found him. He got thrown out of the temple, and he's alone, though there are probably a lot of people that are like, dude just got kicked out of the temple, you know? And it was a big deal. Jesus went to find him, and Jesus revealed who he is. And it's a powerful moment. We know Pharisees are standing by because they start mumbling. And Jesus begins teaching, okay? And he gives us what I think is one of the most important revelations of what Jesus came to bring and what Jesus offers us. He said this, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came, who can finish the sentence? But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. The whole gig of the world up till this point, Genesis 3 on, has been stealing, killing, and destroying, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You cannot understand the mission of Jesus Christ without understanding that he came to bring life. He does not like death. He hates death, he hates stealing, he hates destruction. He loves life, and he bought it for us on the cross. I'm going to be talking about the life that he bought us. It's called abundant life, and I don't know as if there's a sermon name to this, but we will just give this the moniker, the abundant life. Okay? Does that sound good to you guys? More specifically, because when you trust in Jesus, you have abundant life. It's purchased at the cross. More specifically, how can you experience the abundant life more richly right now? Lord, you are awesome. You are greatly to be praised. Surely you are worthy, Lord, because you created the heavens and the earth. You created us. You made us in your image, and you've got a plan, and it's a great plan. It's better than our plan, and it's incredible. I just worship you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that if there's anything in me that might come out that isn't helpful, that isn't practical, that isn't fitting, Lord, that you would prevent that from happening. And Holy Spirit, we just pray you would enlighten us and teach us in this time. We want to see you, Lord. We want to see you move in our hearts. Because your heart for us is abundant life. And if we settle for anything less than that, we're cheating ourselves. So, Lord, I pray in this time, you have your rule. You have your reign. You have the authority, God. And we worship you. We worship you for your power and your authority right now. Thank you that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes that which you send it out to do. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that in your name. Amen. Our text this morning is out of Colossians. If you have your Bible, you can flip there or it will be on the screen. We're going to be in Colossians 3. We're going to be looking at the first 14 verses. It reads, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." Oh no, it doesn't say that. "If then you have been raised with Christ," actually it does, "seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This chapter is all about the abundant life. The first four verses focus on what that life is, where it's rooted, and its nature. It begins saying, you have been raised with Christ, and it says our life is with him, because it says Christ is seated at the right hand of God right now. Jesus physically, don't spiritualize this, physically had a physical body when he raised from the dead. He physically is at the right hand of God at this very moment. Your life, the scripture says, is hidden in him. Now, if something's hidden in something, you don't see the something that's hidden in there, right? If you put something in a box, you see the box. You don't see, you have to go digging in the box to see what you put in. I lose my wedding rings all the time. I keep losing weight and gaining weight. And oh my goodness, I've had so many wedding rings. It's a disaster. I've lost them in the grass and parking lots, all this. This is how many rings have I had. All right, so if I put a wedding ring in the box, you know, you don't see the wedding ring anymore. Why? It's hidden in the box. You have to go inside to see it. There's this analogy here that our life is hidden in Christ. Your life, when you belong to Jesus Christ, is so wrapped up in Jesus, you have to go into Jesus to take the life out. You've got to go inside because it's hidden in there. I already need some water. Here we go. It doesn't stop there. This is really cool. So, it goes on to say, when Christ, it's going to be speaking about a future event, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 4. What I want to point out to you is that your life, when you belong to Christ, is so wrapped up in Jesus. At this point, God in this text is just calling Jesus your life. That's like a title of Jesus. Your life is so wrapped up in Jesus that when God sees your life, he's just, Jesus is your life. What is your life? Jesus is my life. It's wrapped up so much, you have to go digging inside, and God's just like, you know what? Jesus is your life. And when he appears, you also will appear with him in glory. That can be translated, the Greek can be translated, you will share in all his glory. Why? The glory of Christ is never yours, it's always his. Your life is not wrapped up in yourself, it's wrapped up in Christ. And when Christ finally appears, and I cannot wait for the day, I want every eye to see how glorious my Jesus Christ is. It's gonna be an amazing day. I cannot wait. I'm literally jumping out of my skin. It's gonna be awesome. We are going to appear with him in glory. Why? Because our lives are wrapped up in him. That is abundant life. But then something weird happens, right? Verse 5, after describing abundant life, it says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." The word "therefore" is referring to the first four verses, basically saying, in light of what you just learned about abundant life, you need to put some things to death. Now, at first look, this could be very offensive to us. And it might offend us now, where we say, you know what? You just talked about my life, and that's cool. It's wrapped up in Jesus, and that sounds like a pretty good gig, and I'm pretty happy about that, and he's going to appear, and I'm going to appear, and it's going to be great. Why are you giving me a bunch of rules? Right? There's a list of five things that he says put these things to death, and then there's a list of six things that he says put them away. Isn't that tacky? He's like, you have life, and he's like, follow these rules. At appearance, it looks really, really tacky. It looks terrible. It looks like he's putting conditions on it, right? And we don't like that. But is that really what's going on? Let's look at Christ's mission. Christ's mission, remember, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life was, is, and will be the mission of Jesus Christ for all eternity. And if he is offering that life and saying, listen, stealing, killing, and destroying minimizes that abundant life, I would suggest to you that these lists we're about to go over are not rules, they are descriptions of what abundant life is and what abundant life isn't. It's not God saying, here's a list, and you get them right, kid. It's him saying, listen, that's not abundant life. That's not abundant life. Now let's take the first set. The first set are what I call self-destruct button sins. Okay? These are sins that steal, kill, and destroy yourself. Let's look at the list. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion. That word passion means lust, evil desire, and covetousness. And God knew, this is amazing, ahead of time that we don't know what the word covetousness is. So he says, which is idolatry. Let me define this for you. So when you put anything ahead of God, these first zingers are self-destruct button sins. Because if you look at every one of them, they all steal, kill, and destroy you. Which is bizarre, because we do enjoy them, don't we, sometimes? It's really bizarre. It's like a man who works at a nitroglycerin plant. And he announces to one of his coworkers, I'm locking myself in the lab and I'm going to handle the cases without any gloves or anything. I'm just going to go in there and have a really good time. And his coworker's like, I wouldn't do that because you are literally going to die. And he's like, it's my life. It's a free country last time I checked. You want me to be a good worker? You want me to do the right thing? No, it's not me telling you to do the right thing. It's just like, I don't want you to blow up because, I mean, dude, that would be really messy and gross. Like, I'm low level here. I'd have to clean it up with a mop. That'd be really gross, okay? Who are you telling me what to do? I don't tell you how to live. Like, seriously, I don't tell you how to live my life. Who are you to talk to me this way? I can live however I want, you know? George Washington said that or something. You know, I mean, it's free country in the stomach. It's not right. You're not loving me. Dude, all right, but I get your car. If you go in there, if you blow up, dude, like, honestly, like, I don't know if you've got your will, like, in your smartphone, but go ahead. Like, I'm getting your car. Like, we wouldn't think of, like, you know, if somebody's trying to save their life, we wouldn't think, oh, you know, don't talk to them that way. But these sins literally destroy you. Sexual immorality, it will rot out your soul. It will literally rot out your soul. Jesus knows that. He doesn't want his kids in sexual immorality, impurity, passion, which is lust, covetousness. And I missed one. Where are you? Verse 5. evil desire. Oh, evil desires are never good. Doesn't that just, that's self-explanatory. Like, if a desire is evil, does that sound like Jesus? Jesus is like, evil desires are cool for my kids. No, like if it's an evil desire, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt other people. And then it says something interesting. In verse 6, it talks about how the wrath of God is coming because of these. And it's interesting. Sometimes we think, God is so loving, he shouldn't get angry. I'm glad he gets angry. I'm glad he gets angry when we hurt ourselves. If James is playing around with knives and he's going to start plunging himself, I'm just not going to sit around and say, hey, go ahead, yeah. We got that set from your aunt and uncle this year. It was great for Christmas. Go ahead. Look, it's really sharp. We didn't have to sharpen it. No, he loves you. He loves you. In verse 14, he talks about how love binds all things. Everything is wrapped up in love. It's so true. And what's interesting is that the scriptures also say that Jesus sustains, holds everything together. So the scriptures say Jesus holds everything together and love holds everything together. These aren't rules where he's like, hey, you know. He's like, I love you. That's really going to hurt you. I like cherish you. I designed you when you were in your mother's womb. Like I love you. I adore you. I cherish you. God loves you so much. And we say it so much, but if you would understand a 1/1,000,000th of how much God loves you, you would literally just go ballistic because you are so cherished. Everyone in this room, there's no exception. You are loved, and God does not want you to have self-destruct button sins. So look at that list. I'm not going to be really ambitious this morning, okay? Because let's just underachieve. Let's just go ahead, let's do the minimum here. I'm going to be asking you, there's 11 things we're going to be talking through. We just talked about 5. I'm not going to go into nitty-gritty, because if you're struggling with one of these things, you already know the nitty-gritty. I don't have to say nitty-gritty. You go ahead and look at that list. And if there's something that you're struggling with, I want you to file that away. We're going to pray and get some victory in that area after the sermon, okay? Sound good? Sound good? Yeah! I love victory because it's life, guys. We settle for less than life. We settle for less than life. And verse 7, you too also were living in these. These are things you used to do that are literally killing you. But he didn't stop there. He said, but you also must put these things away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. And then he talks about lying. These are what I call grenade sins, okay? These are sins where we hurt ourselves, there's blow up at ourselves, but we're literally destroying other people. Stealing, killing, and destroying other people. And you've probably experienced this where someone goes ahead and just throws anger at you, throws malice, throws wrath, throws slander. How good does that feel? How good does that feel? What kind of world if that just absolutely runs rampant? And God says, we need to put them all away. Now, is this a set of rules where God is like, No! Jesus doesn't want his kids stealing, killing, and destroying. Why? He's going for abundant life. If you're stealing, killing, and destroying, it's like getting touchdowns for Satan's team. Hey! Ooh, got it in! You know, I mean, you're going ahead, you're scoring for the other team. Why? God wants life to abound. Jesus died so that you would experience abundant life and that you would show that abundant life to others. The first list, they deprive you of seeing Jesus as he is, the satisfaction of your soul and being able to see the glory of Jesus. But these other sins, they prevent other people from seeing. And we need to spread this abundant life. I'm telling you, these sins are so nasty. They're so nasty. They might feel good in the moment, but oh, they feel terrible afterwards. One of the first times, I think it's the first time I ever had Waffle House. My parents didn't take me there because they loved me. okay? And I always wondered, what is in this house besides waffles? And I went there with Samantha, and we ate there. And one of the guys at the table, he said, this is the first time here? I said, yeah. He said, it's going to taste real good. He said, it's going to feel like gravel in the morning. I was like, eh, you're full of it. Oh, my goodness, it was worse than gravel. I woke up the next morning. It was like kitty litter in my stomach, but not just kitty litter, used kitty litter that was moving. I swear, it almost felt like it was moving. There was a churning in my midst. I thought, oh, you know, I work in a grocery store. Like, I can't have a mess in the middle of an aisle. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I go to work, and it's disastrous. So I go to work, and I'm late, and I was pretty good about being early. And my boss, this is a true story, he had a good sense of humor. True story. I came in late. He said, you're in late. I said, yeah. And he said, why? I said, I had Waffle House for the first time last night, man. And he was like, okay. And he went back in his office, like he took it. I was like, yes, it is a good excuse. But the tragic thing about that excuse, you can only use it once. These sins, they feel good in the moment. You know, if you get really angry, and I know this, I have episodes sometimes. You don't have to raise your hand. I know you have episodes. You're people, okay? I have episodes, okay? Lord knows, Samantha knows, my boys know. Let's just throw this out there. I'm not pretending to be perfect. This isn't about perfection. God just wants you to experience a greater measure of the abundant life, okay? Glad I got that out of the way. All right, so these things, we have episodes, and it feels good in the moment. If you're really angry, it feels good to do something angry. Or if you feel justified, oh, this feels really good. This feels really good. But you hurt other people. So what do we do? What do we do? The text says in verse 12, it has an alternative. This is the abundant life plan. Those lists are stealing, killing, and destroying. What's the abundant life plan? All right, I've got good news for you. Okay? Good news for you. Who likes new clothes? Come on. Oh, there are a bunch of liars in the house. That's in the list, y'all. Thank you. I love new clothes, too. I mean, you know, it doesn't make me any less of a man. You know, I go to Old Navy, I get excited, and I spend some money. You know, I mean, it just happens, all right? We love new clothes, okay? Verse 12 talks about things that we're supposed to put on. Now, what's neat is Jesus already purchased these things for you on the cross. How do I know? When God tells you what to put on instead of anger, wrath, malice, slander, all that kind of garbage. He calls you two things. He says, number one, you're holy. That's beautiful. You're already holy. You do not have to do a darn thing to get holiness. You are already holy. You might say, I haven't heard anybody say that before. Well, you got to pick up the Bible. Holy, all right? You are holy. Jesus purchased holiness for you. You don't earn it. The second thing he calls you is loved. Now, what's interesting, holy and loved, holy, it means acceptable to God, okay? Holy and love, those are the two things that people want to earn the most. They want to earn love. Oh, I want the person to love me and be impressed. Okay, high school, remember? All right, and holy, that's another thing. Religious people are like, I just want to be so good. So God looks at me and pours out blessings upon my house. And God is like, you're already holy. You're already loved. In fact, I have a whole closet of wonderful new clothes for you. All you have to do is put it on. It's in season, and it looks great on you. And you should try it the next time you think about getting angry, think about wrath, think about malice, think about slander, think about obscene talk. Look in your closet, ring. And the first thing he says is, put on a compassionate heart. Whoa. I'm telling you, in a tense situation where you think you want to react angry, if you have a compassionate heart, woo, that changes things. Kindness. Oh, wow. Kindness. Humility. Meekness. Patience. These are all things he's telling you to put on instead. Why? Because they have abundant life. Are these rules and things? No. He's saying, I don't want you to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not our game plan. That hurts you and it hurts people, and I love you and I love people. So stop that garbage, because I've got better clothes for you. You can have a compassionate heart. You can have kindness. You can have humility. You can have meekness. You can have patience. That changes everything, and it's beautiful. You'll look glorious. And then almost, oh my goodness, he's showing off all these things for you to wear. And then he shows you the crown jewel in 14. And I love this. I love this. I love this. Pun intended. He brings out the crown of love. And he says, put this on. You'll change the world. This abundant life thing will explode. And it will feel so good. Now, just a little side note. Sins feel good for a second and feel like living, breathing kitty litter the rest of your life. Doing the right thing might feel uncomfortable in the moment because you really want to lash out in anger. But if you show kindness, humility, and a compassionate heart, it might feel uncomfortable in that moment. You didn't say yes to your flesh. You didn't do the thing you wanted to. You were kind. It doesn't feel good in that moment. But let me tell you, for the rest of your life, cream and butter, cream and butter, cream and butter, cream and butter. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It lasts. It's lasting. Oh, so good. Here we go. I'm going to give you two examples. We've gone over the list. And so I'm really hoping that there's something that Holy Spirit is highlighting to you. And there's literally no judgment. If you are reading judgment into this, you are like a really bad Sherlock right now. Because there's literally no judgment. It's a loving, loving, amazing God who's saying, listen, I'm not okay with stealing, killing, and destroying. I literally sent my son to this world to die for sins, to take away the stealing, killing, and destroying. God hates stealing, killing, and destroying. By the way, he hates it. It's not part of his program. Two examples. I worked at a grocery store and used to manage a grocery crew. And when there would be a new person, oh, I would get excited. So I would usually work with that person. I remember there was a guy that came in. And this dude, he was a real tough guy. I mean, you know, if I didn't have Holy Spirit, I'd be really scared. But I was like, no, it's cool. Like, he's not going to kill me. And if he does, there are cameras and, you know, it's okay. And so, like, I was like, real tough guy, real intimidating. And I'm, like, stocking cans. I'm on the vegetable aisle. So we're stocking cans and everything. And he's talking to me. And I open up to people. And I don't know why. Sometimes people just open up to me and it's cool. So I'm talking to him. And anyway, he hears that I'm at the Bible college studying. So anyway, I just start gospeling. Oh, it's great. So I'm just talking about Jesus. And I love it. And he tells me, he's like, he starts opening up about what his life has been about. His life was wrapped up in sexual immorality. And I'm telling you, this guy tried to find fulfillment in his heart with sexual immorality, and it wasn't working. In fact, he was so wrapped up in it, he had to amp things up over and over again, and it still wasn't satisfying. It was my heart broke for this guy because this guy felt like there was something missing and he was trying to fill it with something that literally doesn't work. It literally does not work. You do not find satisfaction, joy, peace, hope in any of these sins. It's like somebody being stranded on an island and they're lapping up ocean water and they're just like, and there's somebody on the shore that's like, hey, I got a really great water fountain right here. Like, and you're super dehydrated, you've been out here for a long time, you need to drink water or you're gonna die. And he's like, oh, I'm so thirsty though, I just gotta keep drinking this ocean water. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Okay, there's salt, there's all this stuff in the water, it's actually dehydrating you. I know it looks like water, and we'll pretend it's like off the coast of California, so the water's really blue. I know it looks really blue, and it looks really beautiful, and you feel like this is good, but literally, the more you drink that, the worse you're going to feel. He's like, well, I would, but, you know, this is all I've been doing, and this is what I'm doing, you know, and I wish you just get out of my business. It's like, dude, you're literally going to die. I've got WebMD app on my phone says ocean water is really bad. You're going to dehydrate. You're literally going to die. Don't tell me how to live my life. You're putting all these rules. No, it's not rules, dude. Like literally, the salt is literally robbing your body. It's stealing, killing, and destroying. Stealing, killing, and destroying. By the way, I'm saying that over and over again because the next time you're tempted to sin, my annoying, high-pitched voice is going to be going in your head and it's going to ruin the sin. You're going to be going on that website. You're going to be like, dang it. Daniel, like God will be like, yeah, that's my boy. Oh, I went through puberty a long time ago. I still sound like a girl on the phone. Oh, Lord, I called Kmart. This will just accentuate how annoying my voice is in your head. I went to Kmart, or I called Kmart, which is weird. Nobody does that anymore. And I called Kmart, and she was like, I talked for a little bit, and she was like, okay, ma'am, well, I'm going to go check on that for you. And I had a choice. And I was like, I'm just going to go with it because it's really awkward to correct people because they get offended, which is like, why are you offended? You called me a girl. Why are you offended? So I was like, I'm not going to do it. So she checks and she comes back and she gets back on the phone. Ma'am? Yes, okay, that's probably the last ma'am. Well, ma'am, we don't have it, ma'am. And she used like 8 ma'ams. And I was like, this is so unnecessary. Stop doing this. I should have just corrected you. This is why your business is going in the tank. Come on, I mean, you know, this is terrible. Stop calling me a woman. My voice is going to haunt you. And I'm really glad about that because, listen, the salt water does not quench your thirst. It does not satisfy. These are not rules. It's just Jesus loves you so much. He doesn't want to see these sins steal, kill, and destroy you. He literally does not want to see that happen. It pains him. It pains him. All right, second example. My college days. The first college I went to, UNC Charlotte. Great place. I had a roommate that hated me, okay? This dude hated me. I mean, legit, he did not like me one single bit. And he used to falsely accuse me. He told lies about me. He did not like me at all. Oh, I mean, it was really, really bad. And what made it worse was he put up such a false front in front of my parents. I told my parents years later, they're like, we thought he really liked you. Yeah, because when you were around, he was just Mr. Puffcake here. And, you know, when you left, like, literally, I mean, he's just a jerk. And he really hated me. And there was one day, I snapped. And I didn't pray about it because I knew God would tell me not to. I snapped, and I start putting notes all around. And it was literally the most incredible display of anger and wrath and malice I think I've done in a long time. It was just pure wrath and malice, and I'm literally scrambling around, and I'm like, nah, 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 nah. And my roommate, he knew I was a Christian. My other roommates weren't. And he was standing there, he was like this. He didn't know what to do. He was scared of me. He was just like, if smartphones all had videos then, you know, 2006, you know, if they all had videos, he'd be videotaping me. He couldn't believe it. He was shocked. He was like, oh my goodness. Like, Christian boy just literally lost his marbles. And I've got notes all over the place. And I stormed out. Ugh. Gonna go to math class. It's tough. And, you know, I walk a long ways. And God said, you know, you're going back, right? And I was like, oh, please don't make me go back. And not in these words, because it would be too convenient for the sermon, and if I said I did, I would be a liar. But he didn't say, don't steal, kill, and destroy. But what he did impress on my heart was, you're going to hurt him. I thought, oh, I really got to go back now. Oh, dang it. So I go back, and I destroy all the notes, and my roommate is equally, he has a mixture between shock because of what just happened and a lot of disappointment. He wanted to see an explosion, you know, happen. He didn't have an on-campus job. He was bored. He was really excited about what was going to go down, and I disappointed him. Well, anyway, God has a different plan. The plan is called abundant life, and so he impressed on my heart. He's like, because my roommate, he was one of the pitchers on our varsity baseball team. He was really good. In fact, honest to goodness, he got picked up by a minor league team. This guy was legit. We never even thought of going to one of his games, ever. It never even crossed my mind. And God's like, you've never gone to one of his games. So? Well, why don't you change that? So I go up to him, I'm like, hey, man. Hey, what's up? Dude, like, do you have a baseball game coming up or something? Yeah, why? Well, I was thinking, you know, I mean, I could go to it. I mean, you know, if I'm invited, you know. And he's like, really, you want to come? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, what else? I don't know what I'm going to do here. You know, go ahead and tell me what time. You know, he told me the time, and I end up going, and I tried to spot, like, the most over-enthusiastic parents I could find so I could sit next to them because I really don't understand baseball. And so I sat next to these parents, and they're like, oh, get them blue! It's a ball blue! And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, but blue! And I'm like yelling out colors, blue! I don't know what's going on, you know? And he comes on the field, and I'm like yelling, I'm going crazy. Oh, he ends up inviting me to a family banquet after the game. And I promise you, everything changed. I've never seen such a, I'm going to make up a word and it's going to be mine. I want a nickel every time somebody says. I've never seen such a dispensement. That's good. Dispensement of abundant life. Literally, here was a guy that could not stand me. And just about anybody else would get angry and have wrath and malice. Now, I do have to say, because I have to be honest before the Lord, up to that point, before the breaking point, there were some small things that I did as pranks to alleviate the pressure. So don't think I'm Mr. Perfect Angel, all right? And if you want details, you can ask Samantha. I've confessed, and there is healing confession. So I don't think I was Mr. Perfect Angel. But what's interesting is I had an opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy. And God, thankfully, changed that path. That guy looked at me totally different. There was life there. And his grandmother took me out to eat, which you might say that's really awkward. He was there, so it really wasn't awkward. And she bought me food. And you know what? I promise you that who's the guy that wrote the Five Love Languages book? Chapman, you know, if you've been in the church a long time, you read the book, Five Love Languages. He should have thrown food in there. I promise you that's mine. And she gave me food. And I was like, this is great. And she was sitting across the table from me. And she said, you have no idea what you have done, how much it's meant to him and to me. This is an old woman, okay? You have no idea how much what you did meant to him and to me. And I thought, oh, wow. What if I chose to steal, kill, and destroy, I would have ruined a beautiful thing. And he is the only roommate that I actually arranged for, like, meeting up with for a dinner. We met up, we talked, he ended up getting let go of by that team, but he did really well. And he's the only one I ended up actually networking with later on, which just shows there was such a shift, such a change. And that's God's heart, is God has a heart to not just show you and have you experience abundant life. He has a heart for you to show abundant life to others. So judgment-free, I want you to think of that sin. And Greg, if you could come up, that would be awesome. Think of that sin that is robbing you and robbing others of seeing abundant life. And we're going to pray over that thing right now because God just loves you. His love binds everything, and he cares for you so much, he wants you to be an agent that dispenses abundant life. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, this one sin that's really zinging us, this thing that's really holding us back from experiencing abundant life and demonstrating abundant life, Lord, we just pray right now you would break the chains of that sin. Lord Jesus, you are more powerful than any sin, every weakness. Lord, I pray the cycle of failure with that sin would be broken in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would give us victory in increased measure. We know we'll never be perfect, but we pray that next time, Lord, you would give us the grace to have victory. And Lord, I also ask, when we have these moments where we're just about to sin, Lord, I pray and ask for that pause, that you'll give us a pause so we don't impulse steal, kill, and destroy, but that we think about it and you'll remind them. You'll put my morbidly obnoxious voice in their heads and be like, nah, that ain't life. That's not life. So in Jesus' name, we pray for victory in that area, Lord, for ourselves and for our families. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the life that you give us, Lord. Oh, thank you. If you are sitting here, you have not given your life to Jesus. What I want to invite you to is after the service, come and talk to Heath or I or somebody if you want to learn more, because there is a life that's abundant that God wants to offer all of humanity. And he calls out, he cries out, I came for you. I love you. The reason he hates these sins is because they hurt people, and he wants everybody to experience this beautiful life that he's purchased. And so if that's you, we just invite you. We're going to have some prayer people up here, and we just invite you to that. Or if you've got a sin that you're really wanting some prayer about, come on up. Come on up. The other thing just want to mention is that if you've got any need, this is any week, okay? And I'm saying this because I'm part of the prayer team, you know. But any week, if you just want us to pray for blessing in an area or encourage you, the prayer team is always here. We love you guys, and we want to partner with you in your abundant life. We want to be here for you guys. And so just want to throw that out there as well. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to be celebrating that thing that purchased us the new life. And that thing is called communion. And on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread that was at the table. It was called the Last Supper later on. He's sitting with his disciples just before he died, and he took the bread and used it as a symbol to show that his body was broken on the cross for us. That he sacrificed himself because he loves us to purchase us this abundant life. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me, because we are a people that forget just how much Jesus sacrificed for us. And so, kind of in that spirit of looking at ourselves and our sin and confessing before God, let's just take a quick 30 seconds, and the scriptures say, make your heart right before God before you take communion. Anybody can take communion as long as you've said yes to Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church, but it is for people who have given their lives over to Jesus Christ. And we'll take communion together. The way we do it, you can just take it either privately or with a group, with your family, whatever. We've got a plate in the back, and you'll just take the bread, which symbolizes the body of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, and dip it in the juice, which represents his blood shed for us. Amazing grace, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Lord, we worship you. We pray we would experience you as we partake in communion. Lord, we are not worthy, and we would have no holiness without you, and you give us all the fulfillment, the love, everything, this thing called abundant life, and we want this to be a time of literally setting ourselves apart and saying, God, again today, I say yes to you, and we commit the precious table of the Lord to you. In Jesus' name, amen.